This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As you know, we'll be talking about zakat, inshallah, today. And we'll be talking about the importance of zakat, talking about the way we calculate the nisab, because there are different fatawas, or two fatawas that are famous, that are available, inshallah, within Muslim communities. And I'll tell you why we have to go with the gold standard, why we have to calculate our zakat based on the value of the gold in the market nowadays. Before that, before we go into these numbers and these calculations, I would like to remind everyone about the importance of zakat, importance of paying the zakat. First of all, it is a pillar of Islam, one of the five pillars of Islam. And I want you to imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to build a house in Jannah. When you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you practice Islam, imagine that you are building your house in Jannah. Can you build a house that has some missing pillars? You cannot do that. The house will collapse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow for something imperfect to exist in Jannah. We know that everything in Jannah is perfect. Everything in Jannah is pure. So anyway, it is one of the main obligations of Islam. It is the third pillar of Islam after Shahadatayn, Salat, and Zakat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always mentions Salat with Zakat together in the Quran. الَّذِينَ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. So they go together and they are linked, strongly linked. We cannot establish a strong Muslim community without taking care of the needs of those who are less fortunate, who need our help. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about some warnings in Surah At-Tawbah, مثلا الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. He said, those who hoard gold and silver and do not spend it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then give them the glad, the tiding of a painful torment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers that if you don't pay the zakat, then this is what is waiting for you on the Day of Judgment. And this is part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clarify these issues to the believers, so they know what is waiting for them on the Day of Judgment if they do not fulfill their obligations. And then he said, يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَسْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. So he said, on the day when this wealth will be heated in the fire of hell, and then their foreheads, their sides, and their backs, it's very clear here, very detailed, very graphic, right? Foreheads and backs and their sides and their back will be branded with it, or burned with it. And then it will be said to them, this is the treasure which you hoarded for yourselves. So taste what you used to hoard. This is in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 34 to 35. The two verses of 34-35 in Surah At-Tawbah. Rasulullah ﷺ confirmed this meaning. He said, مَا مِنْ صَاحِبِ فِضَّةٍ وَلَا ذَهَبْ لَا يُؤَدِّي زَكَاتَهَا أَوْ حَقَّهَا إِلَّا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ صُفِّحَتْ لَهُ صَفَائِحُ مِنْ نَارِ. So he said, there is no owner of gold and silver. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions gold and silver. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, same thing. But that was their currency at that time. They used to use golden dinars and silver coins. الذهب والفضة, usually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about money here. There are other types of properties, other types of wealth. We will mention some of them. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about accumulating wealth and not paying zakat. And the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is confirming, as I said, the meaning of these two ayat. He said, there is no owner of gold and silver who does not pay its due, except that there will be plates, you know, made for him, of fire made for him, on the Day of Judgment. And then his forehead and his sides and his back will be burned with them. كلما بردت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said أعيدت له. Even every time they cool down, the process is repeated again and again during a time of a day which is equivalent to 50,000 years until judgment is pronounced among the servants. And then he will see whether his path will lead him to Jannah or it will lead him to hellfire. This is a dalil that the one who is Muslim and he says the shahadatain and he prays, he offers the five daily prayers, but he does not pay zakat, is not kafir. If he believes that zakat is an obligation. But if he denies the obligation of zakat, if he doesn't believe that zakat is an obligation, he becomes kafir. And by the way, this is not a form of extremism. We know that people are, you know, making takfir on other people nowadays. We don't agree with this methodology. We don't agree with Muslims who label other Muslims with takfir with no valid reason. But this is a basic knowledge. This is a basic knowledge of Islam. If you ask any student, first year student in any Islamic university, you tell him someone is denying that Salat is an obligation. This is basic knowledge, he becomes kafir. Even if he was born Muslim. If he denies the obligation of fasting in Ramadan, he becomes kafir. This is basic knowledge. But there are other type of people who would label other Muslims with takfir without a valid reason. Then this is another problem. It's a form of extremism, and we don't agree with that. We don't agree with this behavior. But here we are talking, as I said, this is part of our basic knowledge in Islam. That we know if someone says zakat is not an obligation, he's denying a basic knowledge that is found in the Quran. It is found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically he's saying, I don't believe in this ayat that are talking about zakat, or a hadith that are talking about zakat. I'm saying this because there are some people who don't feel good whenever they hear someone talking about takfir or kufr. Yes, you have to be careful, I agree with you. When we talk about takfir or kufr or disbelief, we have to be careful. But this is, as I said, this is something that is known and well established in our deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about kenz. Kenz is accumulated wealth. So the ulama basically said, any wealth is not haram to accumulate gold and silver, by the way. It's not haram to accumulate wealth. But they said, any wealth, you know, that zakat is due on it, and it has not been paid, then it is kenz, based on the Quranic term. And the person, the owner of this kenz will be taken to account on the Day of Judgment. But if zakat is paid, then it is not kenzed. It is not kenzed. And even if he owns billions of dollars, as long as he is paying zakat, then this is not kenzed, and he will not be blamed for being wealthy on the Day of Judgment. You will not be blamed for being wealthy. You will be blamed for not paying zakat. So this is really important, ya akhwan. What is the wisdom of zakat? When zakat is paid, ya akhwan, there are, you know, individuals and communities will benefit from it. And who are the individuals? There are two types of people. The zakat payer and the one who receives the zakat. The zakat payer will have his heart purified from greed, from stinginess, from love for this dunya. So his heart will be purified. His wealth will be purified. Because when we do business, we might conceal some uyub, some defects. We might give the wrong information to the client. We might delay the delivery of our merchandise. We might do, things. If you are an employee, you might go late to your work. You might have some shortcomings in your interactions with the clients or the customers. So there are some problems with your wealth. When you are paying zakat, inshallah, your wealth will be purified. Hopefully you will not be taken to account for these shortcomings. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Especially if you increase, you add to that, you know, some charity, voluntary charity. Inshallah, all of this will be a purification to your wealth. And also it is a growth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, It will cause your wealth to grow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith Qudusi, not an ayah, Ibn Adam, anfiq alayk. This is a promise from Allah. O son of Adam, hadith Qudusi. O son of Adam, spend, and we will spend on you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more generous than every human being on earth. Okay? And we know that the rewards of every good deed is from 10. Every good deed is multiplied from 10 to 700. And there are people who has seen it in this life before the day of judgment. They gave something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within 24 hours, they got a gift multiplied, the same number amount multiplied by 10. Wallahi, this is something that happened to some people. They have seen it. They were not expecting this money coming to them. But they gave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were rewarded in this dunya. And this is a way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does it this way to send a message to the believers that this is what I promised, and you see it. This is, but we, of course, what we are waiting for, what we are expecting, what we want is the reward on the day of judgment. But if you get something in this dunya, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful. So now we got this meanings from the linguistic meaning of zakat. Because we know the linguistic meaning of the zakat, the word zakat in Arabic, it means nama, increase and growth. It means tahara, which is purification. It means barakah, which is blessing. So all these meanings, we got them from the linguistic meaning of the word zakat. But there are some ayat that confirm these meanings. Mathalan, in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, addressed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Take, O Muhammad, take sadaqat, which is here, zakat. There is an agreement between all the scholars. The word sadaqa here means the zakat, the obligatory zakat. So take, zakat from their wealth. تُطَهِّرُهُمْ, so you can purify them with this zakat. وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا, and then you sanctify them. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, invoke Allah's blessings upon them. Verily your salat, your invocations for them are a source of security for them. سَكَنٌ لَهَمْ, source of tranquility, a source of security. So it is all about security, about tranquility, about purification, about growth, about an increase. It is not a burden. Zakat is not a burden, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now this ayah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to the Messenger of Allah, telling him, khudh, take. Does it mean that he will take the zakat and put it in his pocket? It was haram for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to benefit from zakat money. And all his family members are not supposed to take from zakat. All Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib. Not Banu Abdul Muttalib, Banu al-Muttalib, who was the brother of Hashim. They were brothers. And Hashim was Abdul Muttalib was the immediate grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Abdul Muttalib was the son of Hashim, who passed away in Gaza in 497, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, in the common era. So here the family of Hashim, the family of al-Muttalib, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his immediate family members, all of them were not allowed to take from zakat. But as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa told Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he sent him to Yemen, he told him that you need to call people to Tawheed, number one. He was sending Mu'adh to Yemen to invite people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Call them to Tawheed, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reject all the other idols and deities. And then if they believe in that, call them to invite them to establish the 5 daily prayers, second step. And then he said, if they start establishing the prayer, then let them know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. So let them know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, imposed upon them an obligation on their wealth. A sadaqah, a zakat that should be taken from their wealthy, distributed among the poor. So the hakim or the governor has no right to take from this zakat. It is to be taken from the wealthy people and distributed among the poor. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So this is the first person who will benefit from zakat, is the zakat payer, the one who pays the zakat. The second one, who receive the zakat will feel good about the rest of the members of the community. His heart will be cleansed, inshallah, from grudges, from ill feelings, from destructive jealousy. He will have good relationship with the rest of the community members. And he will feel that, you know, he has brothers in this community who are helping. Who are, you know, they are not greedy, they are not selfish. So the zakat, you know, the one who received the zakat will have good feeling. Will feel good about the rest of the community. Wallahu ta'ala. Number three, they said it reinforces the social fabric. And it maintains the power of the Islamic Brotherhood. And it will help into building, inshallah, strong and stable communities. Because people will be united, as I said, and they will feel good about each other, and they will treat each other with respect. You know, the wealthy will be respected because they are doing their job, they're fulfilling their obligations. And the poor and the needy are, you know, are taken care of. Wallahu ta'ala. Now, how do we manage our zakat payment? Number one, that we need to, the most important thing that we need to pay attention to when giving zakat is the intention. I'm not talking about ikhlas here. That's a different topic, ikhlas, sincerity, being sincere when giving zakat. Of course, you need to be sincere. Of course, you have to do everything with sincerity, with ikhlas. Seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not seeking any reward from the people who will receive the zakat or the community members or the leadership of the community. You are doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about the zakat, the niyyah of zakat. When you give $100, are you giving it out as a zakat or a charity? You have to know what you are doing. You have to distinguish between the two. There are two famous cases that usually happen in the community. The first case is when a person gives a loan to someone. $1,000 to brother Muhammad, right? Muhammad. $1,000. And then after 1 year, Muhammad was not able to pay me back. Tell him, Muhammad, okay, don't worry about it. I will include it in my zakat payment. It doesn't work this way. Because when I gave him the 1,000, I gave him the 1,000 as a loan. I did not give it as a zakat. So I cannot do that. So I cannot change my intention in the process and say, oh, you're not able to pay, don't worry about it. No, I'm not going to take it. And then I just include it in my zakat. And I don't pay 1,000. But then I'm supposed to pay 1,000 this Ramadan. I already gave a loan to Muhammad. I don't have to pay. No, this is wrong. You cannot do it this way. The second issue, famous case in our community, there are brothers who give sadaqat, charity, to different parties, different people throughout the year. And some of them are self-employed. Yani they are business people. They have inventories. They have merchandise to calculate and everything. And I said, you know, I don't have to calculate anything. I keep giving sadaqat throughout the year. Hey, akhi, did you give this sadaqat with the intention of a regular sadaqah or with the intention of paying zakat? It's okay if you do it. If you pay zakat in advance, if you pay your zakat on monthly payments, monthly installment, that's okay, that's fine. But you have to have the intention of paying zakat. And at the end of the year, if you are a businessman, you need to do your math, you do your calculation. Because maybe you paid only, throughout the year, you paid only $600. At the end of the year, you are supposed to pay like $1,000. So if you say, oh, I pay $600, I don't have to calculate anything. No, ya akhi. You have to know, you do your homework, you have to calculate your wealth. Maybe you are supposed to pay $1,000 at the end of the year. Then you will be short at with $4,000. We'll give you at the end, inshallah, maybe half an hour for Q&As, inshallah. Just remember the question. So this is really important, that you do your calculations at the end of the year. But it's okay to pay your zakat in advance. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Now the nisab. The nisab is the amount a Muslim's net worth must exceed for them to be obligated to pay the zakat. This is the nisab. So the number one is, you pay attention to your what? Intention, your niyyah. And number two, you have to know how to calculate the zakat, the nisab. So the nisab at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ was very simple. So this is the one of the important zakat terms. You have to know your the minimum amount of wealth that you have. It makes you, you know, obligated to pay the zakat. At the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, they used to, Rasulullah ﷺ told them you have to have 20 dinars for gold. If we talk about gold, and I said their currency was made of gold, the first type of currency. So they have to have 20 dinars, and this is the nisab. If it stays with the person for 1 year, then he is supposed to pay half of a dinar. If he has more, then 2.5%. Following the Islamic calendar, if we follow the solar calendar, we have a different number. Unfortunately, we forget sometimes to mention this different number, but we'll talk about it today, inshallah. Slightly different. Not big difference. There is no big difference. And their second currency was made of silver. Dirham is made of silver. So they have to have 200 dirhams. And they pay 5 dirhams on this, of course, on this 200. Otherwise, if they have more, then they have to pay 2.5%. Okay? And for example, if we look at sheep, you have to have the nisab for sheep, 40 sheep. If you have 40, you pay zakat one sheep. You give it out as a zakat. And one sheep, the price of one sheep at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ was between, the average between half a dinar to 1 dinar. One Sahabi used to help Rasulullah ﷺ, I think Urwa al-Bariqi radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah ﷺ gave him one time 1 dinar. He said, go to the market and bring me a sheep. Buy one sheep for me. So he went to the marketplace and he got one sheep for 1 dinar. And then, he didn't get one sheep, he got two. He found them very cheap, so he got two. Rasulullah ﷺ told him to bring one, but he said, I can get two with 1 dinar, so he got two. And then he was coming back, going back to Rasulullah ﷺ to give him his two sheep. Then he met someone, and he said, okay, are you willing I need one sheep. Are you willing to sell me one sheep? He said, it's okay. He's wakil now, doing business on behalf of Rasulullah ﷺ. So he sold him one sheep, that's one of them, for 1 dinar. He bought them for each one for half a dinar. He sold the second one, or one of them, for 1 dinar. So he went back to Rasulullah ﷺ with 1 dinar, the same money that he got from Rasulullah ﷺ, and one sheep. So Rasulullah ﷺ was amazed. He said, how did you do it? And he told him about the story, about his story. So Rasulullah ﷺ qala, he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him. Allahumma barik lahu fi safaqati yameenih. Oh Allah, bless his business transactions. That was a dua made by Rasulullah ﷺ to this man. And what did he say after that? He moved from Medina to Al-Kufa, Iraq. And he said, I used to go to the marketplace and make sometimes 40,000, I don't know, dirhams or dinars, but dinars, that would be a huge amount of money. He said, 40,000 before going back to my family. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed his business transactions. But the point here is, the one sheep at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ was half a dinar or 1 dinar. Okay? So now, this is very simple, very easy. And they didn't have to go to the website and check the price of gold. Now, we don't have dinars and we don't have dirhams. We have paper money. How do we calculate now our zakat? Now, usually, they said, we don't care here about cheap, we don't talk about cheap, but I need to, we need this information later on. This is that was their money at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, gold and silver. That was their money. So we need to calculate our money now. And now we use paper money. So some ulama, they said that you have to look at the price of gold and the price of silver. And then when your nisab reaches one of them, you know, the nisab for 20 dinars in grams is 85 grams of gold. 85 grams of pure gold. Because 1 dinar is 4 grams 0.25. 1 dinar is 4 grams 0.25. 20 by 4.25, the total would be 85 grams of pure gold. And the nisab for silver is 595 grams of pure silver. Now they said the ulama, the majority, which I don't agree with, is the first time, man, not the first time, but it's rare when I go against the opinion of majority, but I'll tell you their argument and the argument of the other scholars. They said, you look at the price of the gold and you look at the price of silver, and if your nisab reaches one of them, then you have to start paying zakat. So yesterday I checked the price in the website. It's called the price or goldprice.org, and the 1 gram of gold was 46.18 Canadian dollars. 46.18. That was the price yesterday for 1 gram of gold. So multiply it by 85, I got 3,925.3 Canadian dollars. So this is the nisab for gold. 3,925. That's why I usually tell people, in 2013-2004, it is between 3,500 and 4,000. I checked the chart of 5 years, it went within 5 years to up to 5,000. But within these 2 years, 2013-2014, it is between 3,500 to 4,000. To be in the safe side, you go with 3,500, because the price is fluctuating, going up and down. So this is the price of the nisab, the money that you have, as of yesterday, before you become, you know, obligated to pay the zakat. But there is a big difference between gold and silver. At the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was the same. 1 dinar, the exchange rate at the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was 1 dinar equal to 10 dirhams in the market. It might go a little bit up to 11 dirhams, a little bit down to 9 dirhams sometimes. But the average at the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was 1 dinar equal in the market to 10 dirhams. It was exactly the same. So they had no issues, no problems. And the value of these 40 sheep, as I said, it was almost the same as 20 dinars. Okay? Now let's go to silver. Silver, we said, what is the nisab of silver? How many grams? 595 grams. So yesterday, as of yesterday, silver was 1 gram of silver was 073915 Canadian dollars, of course. And the total is 400, because I have to multiply this by this, right? 440. If someone has $500 in his account and he has a family, is he poor or wealthy? 500. Maybe it's not enough to pay your rent. It's not enough to pay maybe your monthly expenses. So this is the first argument of the scholars who said we have to go with gold standard. We don't go with silver. He said, because the one who has, sometimes if there is a big disparity, big difference between the prices of gold and silver, then if we go with the silver, standard, poor people will be paying zakat. This is the first argument. The second argument, they said it is more stable. It is more stable. The price of gold is more stable. And I'll tell you about something amazing. Something amazing about the prices of sheep at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ and their prices nowadays. Nowadays. In Canada. Not talking about Saudi Arabia or Middle East, but in Canada. So what is the... How many grams in 1 dinar? Naam? How many grams of gold in 1 dinar? 425. Okay, could you do your math? How much is one dinar? You said 46.18, right? Yesterday, as of yesterday. How much? It's almost $200, right? 196? 196 Canadian dollars, right? Yes. So we said, but the sheep at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ could be sold for half a dinar, which is 2.125, right? Right? 2.125. Multiplied by 46? 98, 99. Let's say 99. Huh? This is the range of prices of sheep nowadays in Canada. In last Eid, we bought them for $125. Some people bought them for $200. The same price at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, 1400 years ago. Now same prices of sheep, these animals in Canada. Now if we go with the silver, how many sheep here you can buy? 440, how many sheep? Can you afford three? Maybe two or three, right? But at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, you need to have 40 sheep before you can give one sheep out. And the value of gold is similar to the value of sheep in Canada, for example. So you see now the argument of those scholars who said that we have to go with gold standard. Those who said we go with silver, their main argument is beneficial for the fuqara, the poor and the needy. Because if you have 1,000, you pay 25, so someone will benefit from it. 1,000, you don't have, based on the price of gold, you don't have the nisab. But based on the price of silver, you have the nisab, right? 1,000, if you have 1,000 in your account. So you're going to pay $25 to the poor and the needy. But still, with 1,000, if you have a family, or you are single, and you are paying your rent for $500, let's say you are single. You're paying your rent for $500 maybe, or $600. And you have only 400 left for your food and transportation and other expenses. So you are a poor person, you are not a wealthy person. But 4,000, you are okay. You are not wealthy, but you are definitely better than someone who has 440 or 500 or 1,000. So I'm really confident about gold standard. Really confident. But the majority of contemporary scholars are saying go with silver. It's more beneficial to the poor. There is a huge difference between the two prices, and it doesn't make sense. So is this matter clear? If you have a question, we'll deal with it later on, inshallah. طيب. Now, how do we calculate our zakat? By the way, there's something that you need to pay attention to. We said the nisab, what is the nisab these days, based on the gold standard? 3,500? Two? Yes, yesterday it was 3,900, yes. But I am saying this is my ijtihad. Take it or leave it. My ijtihad to make it simple. Make it simple. It's between 3,000, you don't have to go to the internet all the time. Between 3,500 to 4,000. Unless you know that the price of gold is going crazy, then you go and double check. Right? But these days, 2013, 2014 is going up and down within this range. To be in the safe side, make it 3,500. You know what I mean? It will be beneficial to the poor. But it's up to you how you manage your zakat. This is my suggestion. Now, if we use the Islamic calendar, if like most people nowadays, they pay zakat in Ramadan. So Islamic calendar, they pay only 2.5%. If someone is using the solar calendar, like paying his zakat in December before doing taxes and everything, there are people who prefer this. They have to pay 2.577. I want you to know this. If you are using a solar calendar, you need to pay this. 2.577. I don't want to say 2.6 because it's zakat. But this is the exact number that you need to pay if you are using the solar calendar. After 1 year has passed, you have the nisab, you pay this or this. It depends on the way you calculate your zakat. Your deadlines, the طيب. Now, how do we calculate our zakat? Let's talk about loans, because there are issues that we need to clarify before we talk about the final calculation. Let's talk about loans. If you are the lender, you are not the borrower. If you are the borrower, we call them debts. For the sake of clarification, or for the sake of making it easy for people to distinguish between two things. Loans, if you gave them out. If you take a loan, we'll call it debt, a debt obligation. Now, there are differences between scholars, because there are no ayat or ahadith that clarify the issue of loans and debts at the time of paying zakat. But the opinion that I will tell you now is the opinion of the Muslim Fiqh Council, that is affiliated with OIC, Organization of Islamic Countries. And this, we have two Muslim Fiqh Councils in the Islamic world, and they are the highest authority in the Muslim world. All people, ulama, professors, students of knowledge, imams who respect themselves and they look for authentic sources of knowledge, they respect their decisions. Because they are collective, the outcome of collective ijtihad. You know, scholars come together from different countries, from Saudi Arabia, from Egypt, from Syria, from Pakistan, from India, from different parts of the world. They get together in different countries. Every 3 months, 4 months, they meet in one Muslim country. You get sometimes 200 scholars there. If they are dealing with financial issues, they invite people who are specialized in the industry of finance. If they are dealing with medical issues, they invite doctors, medical doctors. And then they stay for 3 days, 4 days studying those issues. Issues that are, you know, well known in the community, or there are sometimes organizations that will send them questions, difficult questions. Like an ISC or MCC will send a difficult question to this, something that we couldn't solve here in Calgary. Would send the question to these Muslim Fiqh Councils, and then after, it's up to them if they include it, if they want to include it in their agenda. If they include it, then they will deal with it within that meeting for 3 days, 4 days, and they come up with decisions that are now well respected by all students of knowledge. I mean, people who know the right sources of knowledge. So we have two, and the third party is the scholars of Supreme Court of Pakistan. These are three parties that are, you know, qualified to give fatwas and deal with difficult issues in the Muslim world. So their decision about loans that you gave to other people, they said the one who gave a loan is the inherent, you know, owner of this wealth. And thus he is liable to pay its zakat every year. If there is if here, you gave a loan, you are the owner of this loan, this money, you gave it to someone else. If you pay its zakat, you include it in the calculation. I gave you 1,000. It's not in my hand, right? But at the time of the calculation, I should include it, add it to my wealth, because I am the owner of this 1,000. If I am absolutely absolutely confident that, what's your name? Najib? That Najib will pay me back. He's doing well, and he's not denying the loan. Doing well, he has a good income, and he's not denying the loan. Two conditions. So I am absolutely confident that Najib will pay me back this 1,000. Even if he stays with him for 2 years or 3 years, I have to include it in my calculation. It was my choice to give Najib a loan for 1,000. It is my choice. I am looking for a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hasanat. This is an act of worship, giving loans to other people. Qard hasan, you help them. So it's my choice. I'm not able to use this money, but I gave it to him, and I'm absolutely confident that Najib will pay me back. So I should include it, add it to my wealth. This is clear, ya ikhwan? And this will call them good loans. This, for the term of clarification, for the sake of clarification, sorry, we call them good loans. Good loans. And the second case is, if you gave a loan to someone, you are not confident if he will pay you back or not. Either due to his bankruptcy, number one, or his denial of the loan, he's denying the loan. So he's a bankrupt, you know he's bankrupt. It's very difficult for him to pay you back, and you are not just, you lost hope in this money. You don't include it. You do not add it to your wealth when you calculate your zakat. Or he's not bankrupt, but he's denying. He said, I didn't take anything from you. So what happened if after 10 years he makes tawbah? And he said, Brother Najib, I'm sorry. Now I start praying and fasting, and I need to correct my relationship, strengthen my relationship with Allah. Yes, I took a loan from you, your money, after 10 years. There are two things here. The Muslim Fiqh Council, which is an authority, good source of knowledge, they say you don't pay zakat immediately on it. You add it to your wealth, and when times for zakat payment comes, you pay zakat for it. When your deadline comes for your zakat payment, you pay zakat for it. And there are some scholars who said it's better to pay zakat for 1 year. Just 1 year immediately for this money. And then you keep it with your savings, and you keep paying zakat for it every year. To be in the safe side, if you want to pay immediately zakat for it, do it. If you want to leave it, you don't pay zakat immediately for it. You just leave it with your savings, and you pay at the time of your deadline. That's okay, that's fine, because this is the decision of a well-respected fiqh council. Is that clear? Huh? Okay. Now, how do you calculate your zakat? If you are an employee, and you are not a business person, you are not self-employed. So, the ulama, they said you have to calculate cash in hand, or in the bank account, plus value, but you need to pay attention to this, I will explain it. Value of your shares, you use the market price, shares in the stock market. But here, you need to pay attention. If you are a speculator, you know what does speculator mean? Okay, a speculator is not an investor. Someone who buys shares, like he is a day trader. Is he an investor or a speculator? A day trader. Someone who buys and sells shares on a daily basis. He's a speculator. He's playing with the prices. He's not an investor. An investor is someone who buys shares with the intention of holding them for a long-term dividend returns. So you buy shares in the company, you don't care about the prices, just leave them in this with your broker. or in your portfolio, in your account, with the intention of what? Collecting dividends from the company. So here you don't include the value if you are an investor. Just for the sake of clarification. If you are an investor, you don't include them. If you are a speculator, they are like urud al-tijara, items for sale, merchandise. And this ruling of urud al-tijara, items for sale, is well established in Sharia. So the ulama made qiyas with urud al-tijara, something you buy with the intention of selling it again. So if you are a speculator, is that clear now? Buying shares with the intention of selling them, the prices go up, you know, after 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, or on the same day, you add the value, the whole value of your shares. And you add good loans. You know what are good loans now? Huh? Okay, that's good. This will make it easy for everyone, inshallah, too. And then you... Now here, you don't minus here. You don't add. Short term loans. The total, you pay, as I said, 2.5 using lunar calendar. 2.577. Solar calendar.
Short-term debts?
Short-term debts. JazakAllah khair. Because we said we're going to distinguish between... So debts, the money that you owe other people, yani you owe them, you have to pay them. So you are a debtor here. You are a borrower. Here you are a lender. So, good loans minus short-term debts. So, what are short-term debts? For example, I'll give you an example. مثلا, you owe Muhammad 1,000 and you agree with him that you'll pay him in August, or, for example. And you'll be paying in July, you'll be paying your zakat. So, it's okay to deduct this 1,000 from the value of your wealth. You don't pay zakat for it. Because you'll be paying him within a month, this 1,000. How about long-term mortgages and loans? Say someone took a mortgage for 25 years. The ulama, they said, you deduct the value of 12 payments. 12 payments. Let's say you are paying the bank $800 every month. 8 by 12, how much? 8,000? 9,600, right? 9,600. You deduct it from your wealth. Because for that year, you'll be paying this money for the bank. It's a mortgage. It's not a rental payment. Rental is different. Rental payment is your expenses. They are monthly expenses. But this is a loan that you took from the bank, which is haram if it is Sharia compliant. But just to let you know, you are allowed to deduct it. Okay? For the payment of 12 months. But you don't deduct the payment of 25 years. You will never pay zakat. You will never go to Hajj. So this is clear, inshallah. Okay, how about if you have... If you are self-employed. Let's say self-employed, right? Okay, you have a business. So cash in hand or in your bank account plus the value of your shares. As I said, shares here, I mean stock market. And if you are speculator, if you are an investor, what do you pay zakat for? You don't pay zakat for on the value of the shares if you are an investor?
Dividends,
yes. Whatever you collect as dividends, you include them to your savings and you pay zakat for them. You don't pay zakat on the value of the shares if you are an investor. And plus, did we say good loans? I don't know. Okay, and inventory. Inventory. Minus short term loans. Jazakumullah khair. Total, and you follow the same formula, 2.5 or 2.577. Now, inventory. Let's deal with inventory for those who have small businesses. You have to list everything that is for sale, that is ready for sale. But let's say you have a bakery, and you make bread. Use flour, oil, and some other items. You add them. You know, you make cakes, you make bread, you make different stuff, right? Okay, anything that would go into the making of this bread or cakes, it has to be counted, listed in the inventory. How about if you have oil that is used to operate your machines? You don't include it. The value of the machines, the machines that you have in the bakery, don't include them. You don't pay zakat for these things.
Fuel.
Naam?
Fuel.
You don't pay zakat for fuel. Fuel, they are not going to sell it. You include all the ingredients that you will use in the making of this product. Is it clear? All the ingredients that you will use in the making of this product. Include them. How about packaging items? Do you include them? No, you include them only if they add to the value of the product. If you are including their value in the value, in the price of the product, then you include them. You include them in the inventory. When you calculate, you have like this boxes of packages, you know, bags or something. If they are expensive, you're including their value in the product itself, then. But if they are cheap and you are not like one bag for 5 cents, and you are not including their value in the price of the final product, then you don't include them. Do you have any question here, sisters? Feel free. If you have a question, you can. We don't have another. You can send, write them down, or yeah.
What about with my work, they put savings? They take some of the pay and then they put it in a saving fund. So when I retire.
Pardon?
For savings. Like work savings that you claim
RSP.
After you retire?
RSP.
Oh, we'll talk about it here. Yeah. We'll talk about it.
Excuse me. On the inventory, do you put the price of the inventory, how much you bought them or how much it
is? Market price. Yeah. Market price, yeah. Not the... Fine. Now, if you have RSP, yani pension plans, so this is clear now. You know, in the beginning I said I'm not going to take questions, and then I start asking you questions. I think some brothers felt offended, those who I told them. I'll leave the questions at the end. That's okay, we're humans, we forget. طيب. How about pension plans? So we usually have RRSP, and we have RPP. RRSP is registered. Retirement saving plan, and this is registered pension plan. Okay, RESP, yeah. Yeah, for children. Yeah, it's the same, I think. It's called registered education saving plan. The same thing, yeah, for children. So, the basic idea, for you to pay zakat on your money, you have to have full ownership of your money. Now, the RSPs, there are two types of RSPs. regular RSP, and there is locked in RSPs. In locked in RSPs, you are not allowed to take any money. Your money is locked in. So you don't have to pay zakat on this money. You don't have to pay. Registered pension plan, also it's your money is locked in. The government will not allow you to take money from this account. You don't pay zakat on this. Now how about regular RSPs? Regular RSPs, they allow you to take money, but they will charge you taxes and they will charge you some penalties. They go up to 40%. So if let's say you took from your regular RSP 1,000, you know that they are taking away from you 40%, right? So this is not your money. So you pay zakat on, even if you don't take them out, they're still in the account. If it is a regular RSP, you pay zakat on 60%. 60% of what is left, of what is in the account, not left. Let's say you have 100,000 in regular RSP, you pay zakat on 60,000. You don't pay zakat on 40,000, because if you take this money, and you are able to take it here in this case, you have the right to take it out, they will deduct from you 40%. 40% is not your money, you pay only on zakat on. Locked in, you don't pay zakat. Because you could die before you benefit from this money. You don't own, I mean, your ownership is not complete. And you will be allowed to benefit from it when you retire at the age of 65. So at that time you start getting these payments, then you start paying zakat for these payments. RSP you don't have to, because you are not allowed to take money. RSP for children, you are not allowed to take this money. Your children are not allowed to take this money until they reach the age of 18. So when they reach the age of 18, they have to pay zakat after they take this money. They pay zakat. But now, you don't pay zakat on this money. Now, are children supposed to pay zakat on their wealth or not? Nah. Yes, children they are. They are not mukallaf, but they are, because it is a right that is imposed on wealth, not on the person. How about an insane person? Someone who is mentally ill and he is wealthy. Is he supposed to pay zakat or not? Yes, because his guardian or his father has to pay zakat from his wealth, because it is a right that is imposed on the wealth, not on the person. He's not obligated to pray or to fast because he's an insane person, but he's wealthy. So it is a right imposed on the wealth. They have to pay. But here in this case, they have no control. Their ownership is not complete. So they cannot pay zakat, or they are not supposed to. And they are not supposed to pay here, because this is locked in money. And here it depends. You have to find out if it is regular or... So if it is regular, you add 60%, the value of 60% of your money in that RSP, you add it to your... We just respect the first rule, inshallah. We just go with the first rule. We'll leave the questions later on. Okay. Of course, you need to... This information, get it from an accountant. Yes, this is a very good point. The brother is saying, the 40% that I mentioned, this is the numbers I got from brothers, different brothers, that they take around 40% if you withdraw money right away. Okay? Now, if you retire, the taxes will be less, for sure. Maybe 10% or something, or less. Now, if you know yourself that you withdraw money from your account and you don't pay anything, if you withdraw money, then you have to pay zakat on the whole amount. Okay? So this is something that you need to verify with your accountant. This brother is saying there could be some other situations with RSP accounts. So my answer is verify with your accountant. I'm not an accountant, I'm just telling you what I got, the feedback that I got from some brothers. They said if you withdraw money from regular accounts, regular RSP accounts, they will take 40% away. This is the information I got from a couple of brothers. Now, those who deserve the zakat, those who deserve the zakat, okay, number one, al-fuqara. Who are al-fuqara? Huh? Na'am? Poor. The second one, al-masakeen. And we will call them needy. Okay, and number three, al-amiluna alayha. These categories are found in which ayah? In which surah? Na'am? Surah Al-Baqarah? No. These categories, eight categories are found in which ayah? Surah Al-Tawbah. Which ayah, the number of the ayah? 60. Yes, ayah 60 in Surah Al-Tawbah. Al-amiluna alayha, employed by the government to collect the zakat. By the government. To collect okay, these are employed by the government. So, we'll talk about those who are employed in relief organizations. I don't believe they deserve, because they are taking their salaries from these organizations. I don't believe they should be given their salaries from zakat, because they are not only collecting zakat. They're collecting other the charities, and they are dealing with other issues. But those at the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their only job duty is to go around, go to other cities and towns and collect zakat from Muslims. This is their job. So their salary comes from zakat. We don't have them nowadays. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So, and then the mu'allafati qulubuhum, mu'allafati qulubuhum, mu'allafati qulubuhum, there are two types of people. Those who just accepted Islam, especially if they are leaders, because their leaders will affect other people, influence other people. So they should be given from zakat, or they're not leaders, but we want to give them a gift, help them, show them that we care about them, especially if they are in need. If they are in need, they might go into this, you know, first category or second. But you can give them, even if they are not in need, you can give them. They are mu'allafati qulubuhum, those who accepted Islam. And the second type, those who are not Muslims, but they are inclined towards accepting Islam. So you can give them a gift from zakat money to attract them to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to help them, save them from hellfire. You don't do it for the sake of earning their votes or to save them from hellfire. Number five, fi al-riqab. Who are al-riqab? They are captives or slaves. Captives or slaves. Captives of war or slaves. How about a Muslim who is in jail? He committed a crime. Okay, if he is a good Muslim, by mistake he committed a crime or killed someone by mistake as an accident, car accident, and he's a good Muslim, should help him. Pay from the zakat and get him out from jail. How about if he's a criminal? He's a very bad person. Yes, he's Muslim, but he's a criminal. Don't help him from zakat, because he will go out and commit another crime. Number six. Those in debt. So it has to be halal debt. Number one, if it is not halal debt, if it is a haram mortgage or haram, if they are making tawbah and they are trying to correct their financial, you know, fix their financial affairs issues, you can help them with your zakat. If you are sure, a family member or a friend, he's making tawbah, he wants to leave this mortgage or these business interest-based transactions, it's okay to give them from the zakat, because you are sure about their intention and you are helping them to speed up the process of repentance and tawbah, getting rid of, you know, this business, haram business transactions. So those in debt. And here I want you as Muslim to think about students, our students. Include them in your zakat payments if possible. Students who are taking student loans. Our students who are going to university. Many of them are in a desperate situation. You cannot get married. Many of them are not able to find a job after graduating. It's not easy. We have a good market here. The job market is good, but it's not easy for everyone. They usually ask you for experience. So they end up with 30,000 sometimes student loans, 30,000, 35,000, 25,000. And even a father is not supposed to give his children. But in this case, as a father, you are allowed to give your son from your zakat to help him pay his student loans. In this case, you don't give him as a needy or a poor, because if your son is in need, you have to spend on him. You cannot give zakat to your children. You cannot give zakat to your parents. If they are in need, you have to pay for their expenses. You cannot give zakat to your grandparents. So, and it goes up and it goes down. Your children or grandchildren, you cannot give them zakat. If they are in need, you have to. It's an obligation to spend on them. Number 7, fi sabilillah. Fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah. In the classical scholars, majority of classical scholars, not all of them, majority. Classical scholars, they said this is only two types, for two types of people. Jihad fi sabilillah, or students, sharia students. Students of sharia knowledge. If they are dedicating their life to seeking knowledge and they travel to other cities and they need some expenses, you are allowed to give them. Now, it is the decision of the Muslim Fiqh Council, not the first one, the second one, that is affiliated with Rabitat al-Alam al-Islami, the Muslim World League. They made a decision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted jihad fi sabilillah, He would have said jihad fi sabilillah. Fi sabilillah, anything that would promote Islam, da'wah, masajid, Islamic schools, Quranic schools, printing books, masahifs, anything that would help the cause of da'wah, it is fi sabilillah. And it is the decision, as I said, of the Muslim Fiqh Council affiliated with Rabitat al-Alam al-Islami. It's a well-respected authority in the Muslim world. That's why here in IIC we accept zakat for the masjid and da'wah, based on this fatwa and this decision. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So majority of classical scholars, they had a different opinion. Now majority of contemporary scholars, they said there are many Muslim organizations in the West and some Muslim countries, they don't get help from governments. Because Muslim government is supposed to take care of masajid and take care of this da'wah organization. A Muslim government. But now we don't have these things. Here in the West, Canadian government will not give us money. So they said it is okay to give your zakat to build masajid and to da'wah organizations and help and support da'wah programs. Number 7, right? Number 8, Ibn al-Sabil. Who is Ibn al-Sabil? Who is Ibn al-Sabil? Yeah, a stranded traveler. Someone who was like locked somewhere and he doesn't have money. He could be wealthy in his country. He could be wealthy in his country. But he was traveling to another country, far away from his country. And he lost his money. And he cannot go back to his country. Is it possible nowadays? Huh? For this case to happen? Huh? I don't think so, right? Because if you are wealthy back home, like in somewhere, your family will send you money. Unless you have no one there. But you can contact the bank, your bank, to make a transfer, right? I mean, it's very simple nowadays. So I don't think, I don't know. I don't believe that this case could happen nowadays. Wallahu ta'ala alam.